Sabbath blessings. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you and we love you. And thank you for teaching us how to love you and for loving us first. And thank you for your hand towards us is all about love because we are your children. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, the cleansing from all unrighteousness, and blessing us with the latter rain, especially when it falls more abundantly. Thank you for giving us a desire in our hearts to get right and to walk perfectly so that we can be worthy of the rain. And thank you for giving us many opportunities now to share our faith so that we can fine-tune that which we understand and share with everybody the hope that is within us. Thank you for keeping that hedge of angels around us, too, as individuals and as your son's bride. And thank you for blessing everyone here in attendance, be they on the phone, the radio, or here in the room, and for all those that are placing their loved ones first with the prayer requests that we have in the room, the prayer requests we have offline, too. And thank you for changing the showbread today and blessing us with your presence. And we offer this prayer to you in the name of your precious Son, who is our Savior and our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. Let me get these things off the screen here. All right. We're on question number 9. And the question is, all of these unrighteous fruits or actions of the children of the devil are depicted as making them what? Yeah, okay, it's a no-brainer, but still, this helps us to grow in understanding and to share with others. Ephesians 5:6 is the answer. And thank you, Brother Gorin, for placing it in the room. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And then I think the study goes on to say that by refusing to follow the truth of God, they have developed their characters in unrighteousness, and their actions of disobedience of God's law prove that they are the children of the devil. Now, this is one scary truth. First of all, we all know what Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 describes. And as we look around, we could see literally billions of people walking in that kind of a mindset today. That's scary. You know, it tells us we got a lot of work to do. But at the same time, it shows the validity of Christian prophecy and how weak the flesh truly is. It always reminds me of that guy in Gilman, Illinois, that I can't even remember his name. He gave me a fake name, too. And then after knowing him for a while, he gave me his real name. I says, why did you give me the fake name? But this is, you know, the way some of the people are out here when you get away from big cities. They're out here in the middle of nowhere. And they're a little apprehensive, especially with someone who comes up with a Chicago accent like me. You know, preacher or not, they just don't trust you if you're from Chicago. But he actually said that he believed Satan was stronger than Jesus because most people in the world are evil. And, you know, I showed him easily just by using the scripture that, no, that's not the case. It just shows that mankind is weak and prophecy is true. It was supposed to be this way. It's going to get a lot worse. And that was 20-some years ago. We had just moved away from the Chicago area, and I was looking for work, and this guy had some work to offer. It was all computer work, but still, it was just, you know, some old guy looking for companionship, actually. And he didn't have anybody to talk to. His wife was never home. And it's sad. I prayed for him a lot, and I hope he made it home. Because I'm pretty sure he's dead by now because of the way his body was. He had one of those diseases where he had to drink water No, it wasn't Geezy. No, it wasn't that guy. This guy's from Gilman. Geezy was from Rankin. Geezy I used to talk to. Oh, Geezy was a preacher, a straight preacher, kind of, well, wannabe. But he had some funny ideas. He was mostly into conspiracy theories. But, yeah, I can't remember this guy. This guy used to give me $5 an hour, you know, straight cash, but still. Shows you how long ago it was, too. But it wasn't enough to pay many bills, but he was the one that collected all those phones. I mean, he was a pack rat. He was like a hoarder. But most of the stuff he hoarded was antiques. I mean, you walk into his house and there were just pathways. And a lot of the stuff wasn't even opened. It wasn't even out of the box. But his basement, forget about it, was covered in phones. The old-fashioned wind-up phones that you have hanging on the wall in, you know, the 1800s. So, early 1900s. But, yeah, he had that disease where if he didn't keep drinking water, he'd stroke out because his spine didn't have any cartilage. And so he had to keep the water in his body at all times to keep that the bones from landing on bones. And but, yeah, he had a lot of computers. He liked to mess around with that, and he was always messing things up, and so I was always repairing him. I think he did that just to have somebody come over, but still. That strange mindset that he had was like what everybody has nowadays. They just think that, you know, that it's like what this passage says, you know, that they're all following vain words. They're just, what's that? Somebody put that verse in the room there, the smooth things, you know, or just look up smooth things. I think Isaiah touches on that. But, it's amazing how many people, yeah, Isaiah 30:10, thank you, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Now, they don't just go out and say that. It's not what Isaiah is saying. Well, actually, it's not what the Lord is saying through Isaiah, but it's what their actions depict they're saying. In other words, they just don't want to hear it. How many of us have walked up into a crowd of folks that knew that we understand, especially family members, let's say, that know we understand things they don't, but they just don't want to hear it because it's scary. They don't want to know. It's kind of like stick your head in the sand kind of thing, but you can't do that in today's world. You can't stick your head in the sand anymore. Not with everything, especially with what happened last night. And I'll get into that later in the praise list because I was working on a video yesterday. Something happened yesterday where the GOP got all the votes they needed to do something. And I made a video about that because it shows how even blinded the pastors are, the 501c3 pastors. They've missed all these signposts for the last 5 decades. And then so they had all the votes they needed to do something. I'll explain it later. It's a 4-minute video. You might want to check it out. I'm going to post it after Sabbath, but I still got some T's to cross and I's to dot, but it's just about done. But last night while we were all sleeping, they passed that bill. It's now law. You know, the tax laws, but there was something in that tax law most people don't know about. And, but that's because most people say, hey, no, don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it. Preach it. Don't prophesy unto us the right things. Don't preach scary stuff. Give us the smooth stuff. Hey, here's a smooth idea. Give us a secret rapture where we can leave the planet and let all the wicked stay behind and deal with all that tribulation for 7 years. Because, you know, that's just a big old prophetic deceit. Doesn't exist. But that's what they want to hear. And especially today's world, if you go, I remember like that one pastor I used to hang with many years ago. He went to seminary. He was planning on getting educated by the man, if you will, you know. Because he wasn't going to get educated by God going there. And he noticed that the first 30 minutes he was in there. He walked in there, and the conversations that were in the room for the, what do they call that when you first join into, like even in high school they use the same term, you know, orientation. Yeah, so you're going in there for orientation. He was getting ready to get all set up, and, you know, he's got his classes or whatever, his situations or studies that he's going to go into, and he's sitting there waiting, and he's listening to the conversations between the higher-ups and all the students. And he said that this is not what he wants. It was all about how you can make money. And, you know, over the years you could tell this is more or less how they taught and this is how they preach. And it has to do with the smooth things or the prophesying of deceits, because they know if they preach what we preach. And see, this is why the 501c3 pastors get so upset with us when we tell them you shouldn't have gotten that thing. And they defend it. I was talking to some highfalutin preacher. I talked to his wife. He wouldn't let me. She wouldn't. I guess he wasn't there or wasn't available. But she was praising the 501c3 left and right because they got no other choice but to praise it, because they're stuck now. So they got to defend it somehow. They got to defend their actions somehow. They're stuck, especially if they teach prophecy like this organization did. You know, I says, you got to be kidding. How can you miss this one? And so, when you get on the pulpit, and because the people, like these guys, they know if they want to make $1 million a year, let's say, guys like Benny Hinn or whatever, they're not going to get up there and tell people they're going to hell. They're not going to get up there and say the world's coming to an end. I mean, what did the Pope say in 1998? The end is not yet nigh. And what did the leader of the Seventh-day Adventist Church just say last week or a couple of weeks ago? And I made that video this week on it. There's nothing about the Sunday laws in the pipeline as far as we can see, is what he said. In other words, he's calming the people down. You know, the end is yet at night. What did Jesus say when they say that? That's when sudden destruction cometh upon them. And it's all over the place now. It's because most people, because the pastors know, if they go in there and start telling the truth, you got to get right, you got to get ready, Jesus is coming, you got to get ready, they're going to leave that church. And that means he's not going to get the money he wants, so he's not going to preach that stuff. Yeah, but the next verse is for us, yeah. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3, thanks, says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as a travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And then the next verse is for us. Yeah, thanks. Verse 4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Because we study the word. We read it. We open it. We embrace it. We know there's scary things in there. We don't want the smooth stuff. Even though there's smooth stuff in there, yeah, we'll take that too. Yeah, of course, yeah, no brainer. But we don't want anything to do with the deceptions that the rest of the, you know, we're not, the Nile's not just some river in the Middle East, you know. But when you look around, you see everybody's got this mindset. And this includes the Muslims, the Buddhists, the Jews, and every non-Christian religion, as well as every Christian denomination now. They're all in this same boat together, which was prophesied. And this is why that law was able to pass last night. Rome knows everybody's in the same bed now. They got no problem now. The image of the beast has been legally formed last night. Even though it was already there, it's just, you know, all these signposts were telling us, yeah, that's where they're heading, this is what they did, and that was passed, but the preachers were all scared of the IRS, or they're scared of this, or scared of that. So now, they've got it handed to them on a silver platter now. So it's going to happen. And now they're stuck. So watch the excuses they come up with as to why they got that 501c3. They're going to do their best they can try to hide that one. But the prophet Amos said something long ago that we could see happening today. He said in Amos 8:11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Now, yes, I'm very aware that that passage comes to absolute fulfillment during the time of the seven last plagues. We know that. But in order for that mindset to be so burned into the minds of billions, the people of the world have to be conditioned by Satan before the plagues fall. I mean, they're just not all of a sudden going to do a neck-breaking twist into that strange theology and then have that famine in the land. No, they got to be set up for that fall long in advance. That's what's happening now. So that when they fall, they will be so blind to the truth, we, the remnant, that we see, the remnant people, because we study the Word of God daily. I mean, seeing how we're in the very last days, and when I say that, I do not mean the beginning of the last days as the apostles spoke of 2,000 years ago, or the actual ending of the 2,300-year prophecy of Daniel that came to an end in 1844, or even the last days as street preachers spoke of since the 1950s. I'm talking about the literal end of days that we find ourselves in right now, especially after what happened last night. I mean, when we look around, and they did that, by the way, while we were all sleeping, which means they did it on Sabbath day, no less. I'm so glad I made that video. I just, you know, it would have been nice. I did the blog yesterday, so the blog was already there before they did what they did. But we knew what they were going to do because the prophecy, sure, that's why I was saying in the video, this is going to happen. It has to. I mean, when we look around and see how people get very upset today when you share a Bible verse with them, you could see that something has happened in our generation alone. I mean, I've been seeing this ever since I was a kid. You know, when I was a child, the Bible was respected in ways that literally moved me to open it and even leave the Roman Catholic Church because of what I found in it. And as I grew up in the Lord, it became more and more obvious to me how much that very same book, which hasn't changed one iota, by the way, since it was written. I'm not talking about NIVs or NESBs either. I'm talking about the King James. That very same book that was very well respected has suddenly gone from a very respected book to a very hated book, an illegal book, in fact. Remember the Philadelphia 11 in the USA? People thought I was nuts when I said what I said a year or two before that on the radio because of what went down in Canada when they passed a law that made the Bible hate speech because of the homosexual movement. We all knew that was coming. You know, we've been talking about the Rome's homosexual agenda since my newsletter days. And so, yeah, that was a no-brainer. But we knew it had to come into the USA next, especially in regards to the Ten Toes of Daniel, the way that everything's set up. If it's going to happen in one nation and it gets solidified and put down as part of the foundation of their laws of the land, it's going to have to go global. Because when the New World Order happens, which is already on paper, a lot of people don't realize that. Matter of fact, I did about 5 or 6 videos on that. But once it goes global and you have all your little Herods running out there that are underneath Caesar, who's going to be obviously the Pope, the laws that are in the main nations, the bigger nations, the stronger nations, are going to be the laws for all of them. And so whatever went down in Canada, we knew it was going to happen. And then a couple of years later, you saw the Philadelphia 11 go. Now, I didn't agree, and we can't agree with what they did, the Philadelphia 11. And for those that you don't know, the homosexuals had some kind of a big old parade, if you will, in Pennsylvania or Philadelphia or whatever. And in the Philadelphia 11 were 11 Christians that went to that parade and protested. It's not how you share Christ, you know, because it's going to be a yelling match, and that's all it was. It became a yelling match because the homosexuals are not going to keep their mouths shut. They're going to start screaming and yelling, and then some of the Christians got a little hot under the collar, too. But the Christians were the ones that got arrested and the ones that ended up behind bars, not the homosexuals. And everybody was so surprised. This is why. Look what happened in Canada. Why would anybody be surprised on that? The Bible is now a hated book. And in America, if you speak, look what happened with the bakers, the people that want the wedding cakes. They don't want to put something on a cake that glorifies Satan and anything that he has to offer. And because some people do want that there, they literally shut down people's businesses and cause them to go behind bars. And one family not only lost their business, they got fined by the U.S. government, what was it, $40,000-something that they had to give to the homosexuals? Well, who cares? It's just monopoly money, really. It's all it really is. It doesn't matter when that eastern sky splits. Who cares? We're going to be walking on streets of gold. So hopefully it didn't really bother that family that much. I don't know. They're Sunday keepers, and so they still don't get it. They still don't get a lot of this stuff we're understanding here. But that Bible, our Bible, is a very hated book now. And the fact is, as we know, it wasn't the book that changed, even though they tried to change it. That's why I did the Bogus Bibles page on my site. And what I saw happen when I first started pulpit preaching in the one church where the pastor came up to me and asked me to do him a favor, whereas his daughter was carrying the NIV everywhere, and he knows that when he met me, I had an NIV. And after 6 months of going to his church where he preached only from the King James, he saw how I put the NIV down after 6 months, and he asked me why. I says, well, every time you preached, you would share a verse that wasn't in my Bible or was rewritten. And I have absolute evidence now that this NIV is a bogus Bible. It's just like the prophecy of old, you know, the defiled bread prophecy. So he asked me to do a sermon on it, and he was going to invite his daughter. I says, yeah, but you got to do me a favor. You're going to have to get at least 50 NIVs and 50 King James. Because we only had like 50 people coming to that church. Or 40, I don't know. And he did it. Everybody that came, I says, everybody's going to get, if you don't have an NIV, we'll give you one. If you don't have a King James, we're going to give you one. Everybody's going to have two Bibles in their lap. And I more or less did the bogus Bibles page from the pulpit. Not as long, obviously. I just went to the key verses. And everybody was shocked. And his daughter, praise God, put the Bible down. She picked up the King James from that day forward. So it's not the Bible that changed, it's the people. I mean, look at Malachi 3:6 is planned, for I'm the Lord, I change not. And Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, forever. So they can't say, because mankind changed. It's just like what that one guy told me. Oh, yeah, the thing I read at the Q&A last week about the guy that wanted, you know, he knew he wasn't going to get the 5,000 because he wasn't going to get, you know, that one that video I made about, says, I'll give you $5,000. You show me one Bible verse that says the Sabbath was changed to Sunday. I says, please just give me verses. Don't give me dissertation because it's not about your words. It's about his, you know, God's word. But this guy gave a small dissertation anyway. And he more or less said that God's going to change in our, whatever we do is okay with him, and he'll change to us. That's the mindset out there. It's because he's reading a bogus Bible. And that's why I did the page on the site, because I didn't do this on the pulpit back then. I just showed how this Bible's got verses missing, right? I says, okay, go to this verse or go to that verse. And none of them could do it. I says, okay, now go to your King James. And then they started, and that's when I started seeing the pattern. But I didn't put two and two together until many years later when I got the website. And if you read from the top on bogus Bibles and get your way down to the bottom, you'll see there's a pattern to their math. There's a method to their madness. There are specific verses removed or changed in such a way so as to uplift eternal life at the moment you die, seven-year trib, secret rapture, Sunday Sabbath, all of it. I mean, it's all these verses, but they can't get them all. They you just can't do it. You know? And so, the Bible, it didn't change. As prophesied, mankind has changed, just as Jesus stated they would in Matthew 24, verses 36 to 39 when he said this. But of that day, and praise God, you know, that September 23 thing and then the October thing and all that other stuff, a buddy of mine was, this guy that I still talk to over the years, I met him when I was a kid, and he started calling me about 10 or so years ago. And he's a Christian, but he's Sunday keeper, and he believes a seven-year trip and all this. And praise the Lord, I got a big old foot in the door on this one, because he finally admitted that we were right. He thought something was going to happen on October 23rd or September 23rd or something like that, or October 21st. I can't remember exact dates, but I did the videos. And so I got a big foot in the door, and I left him with this at like the last 2 or 3 minutes of the phone call, which was about 2 hours, and was this verse. Verse 36 in Matthew 24. I mean, I didn't go all the way to 39, but because I told him, this one verse blows the doors off of that seven-year trib thing. Because he's always had his problem with that. He always believed in it because he doesn't want to be. It's just, it's the smooth thing. You know, he doesn't want to be here. He says, well, God's not going to put us through that wrath. Yeah, I agree, he's not. This isn't our problem. Those plagues aren't falling on us. His wrath doesn't fall on us, but they don't get that. They figure, well, if we're on the planet and the plagues are falling, we have to deal with it. What, you've never had a trial before? With a smile? But anyway, Matthew 24, verse 36, 39 says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And that's the verse that blows that seven-year trip out the door. How? Well, think about it. And look at the hypocrisy behind it, too. They say the Christians don't know the day or the hour, but the wicked do. Seriously. The seven-year trip starts at a secret rapture. No one knows the day or the hour when that rapture happens. All of a sudden, boink, you know, millions and millions of Christians are gone all of a sudden. But now, all of a sudden, the wicked know the exact date Jesus is coming back. How? Well, all you got to do is the math. I mean, if the Christians left on January 1st, let's say 2000, well, then according to them, January 1st, 2007, they're going to go exactly 7 years later. And that's what took me another 30 seconds to share with him. And I said, okay, just chew on it for a little while. Just chew on it, right? And hopefully he will. And we'll be talking again. But anyway, he goes on to say from verse 37 down, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. Did you notice that? Why does he repeat that? No, we caught that one. He also does it in Luke 17. But they're marrying and given in marriage because at this time in the days of Noah, homosexual marriage was legalized globally. And that's why the flood was global and not just in Sodom and Gomorrah like it was later, or San Francisco or Katrina. Yeah, those were the end of the Lord. And so marrying, you know, husband marrying a wife, and then given in marriage, well, a man marrying a man or a woman marrying a woman. Right, so marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And so for them to get to a place in their minds that the Bible is ignored to the point there is a famine in the land, they would have to have been spiritually brainwashed long before that day comes. I mean, take for example, the government school systems. And I say systems because America isn't the only government out there. But take that for example. They know what they're doing. They're working in advance. So by the time that the teenager leaves high school and reaches the ripe old age of 18, which means they're still a kid, you know, according to my Bible, they get to vote. Right? So Satan does the same thing with that as he does with Amos 8:11. And what I mean is, before that famine comes in the land where it's a waste of time now for them to go looking in the Bible because now they're sealed for death. There's no way. They've got the mark. They're going to be banging on our doors asking us for some comfort from the Scripture, but they can't find it, and we can't give it because they don't believe, they never did believe, and now they're reprobate, and they're gone forever, and they're going to die. There's nothing they can do to stop that at this point. But it was all planned in advance so that when the plagues began, they'd be at that point. Well, go to school for a couple of years in the USA. You know, you'll believe that America was founded because people came here due to some high taxes, or they wanted to get rich from the UK, let's say, or London or wherever. It had nothing to do with, I actually saw a video the other day where a guy was saying, no, it had nothing to do with religious persecution whatsoever. They came here to get rich. It's on YouTube, and this guy's a preacher, right? And so this is how it is out there. And so when the kids go to school for, you know, all the way up until, you know, they get out of high, you know, senior grade 12, their mind is such that it's like that one preacher said, by the time they get into their sophomore year in college, they will be atheist. Christian children will be atheists by the time they're 19. Because of the way it's designed, the way the school system is designed. And the school system is designed as well as to bring about the euphoria that the elite want in America too. The way they uplift homosexuality and all these other disgusting things and pedophilia and everything that's in the schools now. It's just normal. They're pushing the stuff to kindergartners so that by the time they leave high school and they vote, they're going to vote the way these people that run these schools want life to be on planet Earth. But that's just another sign of the extreme end that we're in. And so they all had to be spiritually brainwashed before that day comes, just like the kids, before they got to the time that they were going to vote, their minds had to be set for that. So you can see it happening in reality there as you're seeing it happening now. So because we're dealing at present with well over 7 billion people on this planet. So Satan, it's going to take some time to do as prophecy said he's going to do. And he's been working towards this for 6,000 years. And he's only got one generation to do it in. So he's got to figure out over the previous generations, this is what's going to work at the end of the 6,000 years. And so getting back to what it says in Ephesians 5:6, which was, let no man deceive you with vain words, or because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. This pertains to the preachers, the pastors, the priests, and the street preachers who deceive the masses with their vain words. And because most people have been lured by Satan to just go to church one day a week, be it true Sabbath or as the majority does on the Roman Sabbath, most people figure they'll just trust the pastor to teach them as the Bible says without ever opening that book up. So they become preacher echoes. That's all. They don't become Christians. And because they trust, or as the prophecy says, they worship the creature more than the creator. Because worship is also defined as obey. and it says that in Romans 1:25, and they literally changed the truth of God into a lie. These wolves in sheep's clothing have moved everyone in their churches to become the children of disobedience. And so when those plagues fall, they will be running to and fro, looking for just an inkling of truth from that blessed book, because they're scared out of their wits now. They know the Christians were right, finally. They know. They finally put two and two together. Too late, of course, but then that's the way the devil works. It's like those people that given personal testimonies of what happened when they committed suicide and survived. I'll never forget the video I saw. It was about a year ago. Some guy jumped off some bridge. And the moment he jumped off the bridge is when he realized, what am I doing? So you got to think everybody that's jumped off that bridge had the same exact thought. Because, well, guess why? Guess why he came to a clarity of thought? Because the demon in him left and figured, oh, my job's done. I'm going to jump to the next soul. Because he ain't going to survive this splashdown. But he did. And that's what's going to happen after the plagues. I have no doubt in my mind there's going to be a lot of people. One of the reasons for the weeping and gnashing of teeth, too, the clarity of it all. The Lord wipes all that self-deception away on that day. But at the same time, during the plagues, yeah, I'm thinking a lot of self-deception is going to be wiped away then, too, because think about it. Why else are they looking around for some scriptures? They finally realized that, all this stuff was wrong. What we've been doing is wrong. Hey, if we go into the Bible like the Christians do, that maybe we can, you know, we could get it all fixed, you know. And their parents were Christians, so they go banging on their parents' door and realize, well, parents aren't there. You know, because long before there, when they did the buy and sell thing, now there's the death penalty. And so, yeah, some of the parents are already running out into the hills and the caves and the woods or whatever. So they can't find them. And so they're looking for any Christian they can to give them some, like the ones that are in the dungeons or in the prisons. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of people begging them for something that'll comfort them. Says, all we can say is, sorry, we got nothing for you. You know, I can read you Genesis to Revelation. You're not going to believe any of it because you're reprobate. And you can literally speak bold in that manner as well, because at this point, whoever's saved is going to stay that way, or hellbound is going to stay that way too. So it really doesn't matter. You know, truth is truth at that point, as it is now. It's their just desserts. I mean, they ignored everything the obedient remnant warned them of, and so they are left to echo that which prophecy said through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 20 and, oh, just verse 20. I don't know why I got 20. I think I got, yeah, there's no 21 there. And it says, they're going to say the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. And keep in mind, those are Christians talking. Atheists don't say, oh, the harvest is past, summer's ended, we're not saved. No. They don't believe in salvation. Muslims aren't going to say that. Buddhists aren't going to say that. These are the Christians. This is the Bible. This Christian Bible. This is for them. Even though they ignored it and denied it and hated it, yeah, that's their problem still. Because Jesus Christ is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.